Hello, folks. Hope you had a great July 4 weekend. So here's your one episode of the week recorded before July 4. So if you forget anything massive that happened, like a certain bill being passed or whatever, that's, we're not going to talk about that. So. All right. On with this week's one episode. Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
My name is Ruthie.
This is Jeremy.
This is Anna.
I think I was honestly wondering if Anna was going to chime in. I wasn't sure if you were asleep or not.
I mean, I'm not asleep. I just have nothing to say.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, we're just going to talk about, give people our, you know, our usual 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes topic thingy. Let's go with Ruthie.
God damn it.
Okay. No, not Ruthie.
No, we'll start. We can start. I messaged you guys earlier if you knew about the princess treatment. And I think this stems from the movie, The Materialist.
I knew it. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Which I have yet to see. So Anna, I don't know if you've seen, I was curious, maybe you'd want to help me ask the questions to the boys about, you know, what they think is princess treatment versus bare minimum. Basically, like, what do you guys think is like doing too much or doing extra work or doing like what's above and beyond versus like what's already just expected for you guys to just be men and act like the manly men that you are for the women in your lives, right?
Okay, so the question, can I ask a question or you have more to explain?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So isn't that the option somewhere in the middle, an option?
If there's an option in the middle, no, it's either bare minimum or princess treatment.
No, that's too black and white. The world does not revolve around black and white. There's a middle ground to this. Sometimes you give people the princess treatment and sometimes the bare minimum is enough.
No.
Wow, okay. Okay, Jiaming, your opinion of this. Think? No. Let's ask the guys first, because you're asking us. Jiaming, your thoughts on this?
I think you should watch the movie. No,
forget the movie for now.
Let's just talk about life.
The point of the movie is don't live in a binary and stuff. Like, don't live in this one choice A, choice B, choice A. You know what I mean? It's about not living a binary, not living in these kind of social constructs about you don't have one or the other. It's about living in a nuance.
So but John,
I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. We haven't. Ruthie or Anna has not seen the movie.
I understand that.
But I think Ruthie's really like not wanting, like not like, you need to watch the movie, Ruthie, because there's a reason why the things happen in the movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I haven't seen it, I know, like, I've seen the spoilers. I'm like, okay, I get it. And it's like, you just have to watch. It's not just like, oh, she picked one guy over the other. Like, you know,
that's
it's
what I'm saying.
There's a lot more into it.
The biggest takeaway is like, if it's a bare minimum or the princess treatment, that's the sort of wrong takeaway and stuff like
so
that. You know what I mean?
The way I'm looking at this is, as the point of view of somebody who hasn't seen the movie, is, I'm just bringing up the fact that people are bringing this up because of the movie, not because of what I'm believing.
Correct.
For me, this is actually like almost like a blind experiment where I'm like, oh, I actually agree with that. Oh, I actually don't agree with that. Like, oh, I actually agree with that. So it's more like, I feel like my perspective on this would be untainted in a way because I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what all the fuss is about. I just thought this might be like a fun exercise for us, like to see what you guys consider princess treatment versus the bare minimum.
But it does feel like we're gonna accidentally litigate the movie. I'm not just saying we talk about the movie, but the movie is answering your question here regarding the princess treatment versus bare minimum. The movie gives its take on that. So us giving our take on that is essentially litigating the movie, although we're not going to talk about the movie, but we are going to address the ideology of this statement. Fair?
Okay.
My whole thing is like, if the audience that saw the movie and the takeaway from the movie is kind of like, you know, reducing it to either ors, it's kind of the wrong takeaway. But to answer the question, you should just, like anything in life, you just try your best. You just try your best. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. And this is meant to be fun.
Whatever you think your best is, and whatever in your means and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
So go back to my original answer then. My original answer was, is there not a middle ground to Princess Treatment and Bare Minimum? And you said no.
In real life, I guess there should be, right? But I said no just for the fun of it. It's like a yes or no. You guys made it too serious. Now it's not fun anymore.
Talk about leading the jury there, Ruti. Come on. Let's be honest about the argument here, at least.
and this fun stuff is for young people, man. Do you think I'm about to turn 50? I'm about to die. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is something I don't worry about anymore. You know what I mean? I'm worried about my cholesterol. I just did my yearly physical. You know what I mean? I don't want colon cancer. How about that? That's my answer. You know what I mean? This is for young, fun, sexy people. You know what I mean? I'm not young, sexy, or anything. You know what I mean?
No, but I do find it fascinating, though. I'm a married man, a happily married man. So it's like I find the ideology between the two fascinating, because I don't see it in that extreme opposites. Yeah, I really do.
I was asking the question not really based on the movie, on just out of curiosity. It was because most people were bringing it up because of the movie. I'm bringing up purely out of curiosity, like what you guys think.
Right. And I gave you my answer to that. So now
this topic has become completely different from what I was intending for.
Is it not? So I'm curious, Ruti. Where were you going? Where were you planning to go with this topic?
Trying to just have a good, fun-hearted, like a good-hearted, fun, like, quip on, you know, what do you guys think is Princess Treatment, what do you guys think is not, or like what is just the bare minimum, what is like just expected.
Well, do you have a fun list that makes you ask if this is this or that?
I did prepare a list and I did send it to you, but maybe I mean it's not, I don't think it's like the best list. No, of course I'm not going to send it to you because I'm going to ask.
Okay. I don't remember seeing that list, but okay.
Yeah, but okay. So this list, I just grabbed this screenshot from TikTok because I couldn't find an actual like article about it where it's like all written down, and I wasn't about to just like watch a whole like how many TikTok videos on this just to like write these things down. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to try to come up with like five different questions, maybe six, off the top of my head, just from like what I've heard. Compliments you. Is that Princess Treatment or is that Bare Minimum?
Yeah, that's Princess Treatment. Because some I would say some men. Okay. Oh yeah, wait. Just a guess. No explanation.
Since this topic kind of like went on that tangent, like I would love an explanation.
I think you're Bare Minimum. Anybody anytime should compliment people. That's Bare Minimum. Hey, you did a good job. You look good today. Hey, nice job. Hey,
I feel like I'm kind of like.
Oh, by the way, you guys are doing a terrible job at podcasting. That's the opposite of a compliment. What do you think of that? How about that?
I'm saying is that like I don't see a lot of people complimenting very much anymore,
complimenting who though? Your significant
I'm not going by my experience here. Like I'm thinking more like outside in the real world situation. Like if people are complimenting people, I don't see it in person. If they're doing it in the private homes, so be it. But when I see other couples,
like for you, do you would you compliment your wife?
Yeah, I will say that's bare minimum.
Okay, yeah, there you go. So bare minimum.
Oh, okay. All right.
You'll answer for yourself. You can't think of the whole society in context. Just answer for yourself.
I was going by the ideological commentary here.
Overthinking it. Exactly.
Well, I mean, you live in a moment.
This is me we're talking about with the flags, okay? So go on.
You're actually a human being. What do you think of that? How revolutionary.
All right, Ruti, carry on.
I guess this applies to like boyfriends and girls. Okay, makes sure you get home safe or gets to your destination safe.
That's bare minimum. Yeah.
Bare minimum. Okay, I like that.
And that's not even close. When my friends and I go out, when we separate, everybody texts each other when they get home. That's exactly. Bare minimum for anybody.
And that's what I was trying to get at. This list is supposed to be fun and like not that deep.
Yeah. you're a dumb list, man. Why don't you put like, hey, they buy you an Apple Watch. You know, what I mean, the next after 2 days.
But the thing is, I don't know how far the list goes, Ruti, but it almost seems like me and Jami's answer is going to be bare minimum.
Yeah.
You gotta find some really outrageous examples.
And I'm getting there.
Oh, you're getting there. Just jump to the, I mean, you guys let me talk. No, that's Princess Treatment.
That's Princess Treatment. Jesus.
I'm saying go to the outrageous ones already.
Okay. One more simple one. Opens the door.
The bare minimum.
Okay, love it.
People should do that all the time.
Actually, one more bare minimum. Yeah. Well, actually, I just answered that question. But one more. Gives, buys you flowers for whatever reason. Because that could be a controversial topic.
I think that's
for your birthday. Yeah. It's bare minimum? Or
wait, no, for a birthday? Or one of those things?
If it's...
Special occasion?
Even if it's not.
Okay, so I'm thinking that if it's not a special occasion, then that's Princess Treatment.
Yeah, I'm not a flower person. I'm like, I feel bad for a flower.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you do it on a non-special day, you're going out of your way to surprise her. Like, oh, look at me, I'm gonna get you this. You know, so you're making it special, and by making it super special, I will feel like that's Princess Treatment.
Yeah. I never liked the idea of flowers anyway. Yeah, yeah, moss. You put water, it dies.
Besides, that's like,
what am I do with this? Buns flying everywhere. What am I gonna do with this?
I mean, I, for one, I'm highly allergic to flowers. So, like, the second Ellis got me flowers when we first started dating, I was like, thank you, but don't ever do this again. You will kill me. Then he just buys me food instead. That's my love.
Yeah, buy some chicken wings, man.
Chicken wings. Give me chocolate. Like, that would make me happy. Buy me soda. That would make me happy.
Buy you soda? That would make you happy? So, why
like,
soda?
If he brings home a six-pack of soda and, like, I didn't ask for it, that actually makes me so happy.
Hey. I've never heard somebody like demand soda.
I'm actually pretty easy.
Soda, huh? Soda. Okay.
But then I also go the opposite spectrum where I'm like, I'm really bored. Can we go buy a plane ticket somewhere random?
Have you checked your diabetes level if you like soda that much?
Oh, I'm totally like almost my A1C levels are pretty high up there. I'm probably pre-diabetic at this point.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, now for the controversial stuff. Pays the bills.
That's bare minimum, isn't it?
Wow.
Ooh, okay. Albert.
Wow.
Wait, in what context? Are you guys living together? Or is he just paying your bill?
Are you referring to like out to dinner or lunch, whatever, the kind of thing?
Wait, what do you mean by bills?
Pays the bills, yeah, which is like the you live together, utilities, everything, like pays the bills, and then B, the second part of that question would be when you're going out to dinner, when you're going out on dates, just hanging out.
The first thing I thought of when you say bills was like house stuff, you know, like utilities and whatnot.
That's what I thought.
But I think that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. I get that. But I mean, the whole financial thing kind of makes a big difference too. So yeah, usually it ends up becoming a joint effort to pay the bills, right? Yeah. Ideally, I would say the bare minimum was for the guy to do it. The traditional MAGA way, the Make America Great Again, like the man provides for the family kind of thing. Yeah, I kind of wish that was reality, but it's not. So ideally,
but in your view, that should still be the bare minimum.
Yeah, but that's not my reality though. I mean, the both of us pitch in for all the utilities. So
at some point or another, right? Yeah, in this economy.
Yeah, but in philosophically, I would like to think it's bare minimum. So there's that. In terms of lunches and dinners and whatnot, I would like to also think that's bare minimum. But the reality of the matter is that that's not always possible either, because it's like I said, we share the same
bills.
Bills
in general.
In general, yeah. So there's that. Like we kind of simplified it if it's like. If it's my idea to go here, I pay for it. If it's her idea to go here, she pays for it. You know, it's a kind of a thing. That's how we split it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay.
Jumming?
I've never been close to living with anybody, so I'll defer to Albert, whatever he says.
No, I think well, then you can lean on to, like, dates. Oh, wait, you can't do that either. Boom!
Yeah, I barely get enough of that. So, yeah.
Damn, Albert! below the belt.
Zinger.
Zinger. I was right. I barely date and stuff. I barely go out and stuff like that. I defer to whatever he says. I'm not even close to what do you call it. It's because this is a tricky thing. It's the number one reason why people break up. It's the number one reason people get divorced. Like, why would I wade into that water if I've never been close to it, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically, is this are all these questions going to be pointed at me, Ruthie? Because if that's the case, let's move on. Because that was more than 5 or 7 minutes. So let's move on. Okay. Now.
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay. Anna, you want to go next?
Got nothing.
All right, Anna, you want to go next? Wow.
I love it.
That's the bare minimum.
That's the bare minimum.
She's just here so she doesn't get fined and stuff. Good lord.
I know. Yeah, I'm just here for a good time. I really don't have anything. I've been very depressed.
That's fine. Oh no, I feel you. In this world, yeah, I've been feeling that myself. Jiaming, go ahead.
I have no one topic, so I have a series of like really short, little, quick things. But just tell me stop when you guys are tired and stuff like that. The first one is a few weeks ago, I think a few months ago, my friend sent me an invite for the kid's birthday party and stuff like that. I clicked on it, said I'd go without really thinking about it or checking with the other friends in the friends group. As we got closer, it was actually this yesterday. So earlier this week, I looked at the actual invite. I looked down the list of people who are going. I realized none of my other friends that I knew were going and stuff like that. One set of friends is in Tokyo, one's has family in town, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, hey, it's just me from this friend group. The other people will be there, but they're mostly other parents with kids and stuff like that. I'm not gonna, my question is, it's okay for me to back out of it, right? You know what I mean? Cause I literally did the Homer Simpson, you know, fading into the grass thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to be there, right?
Here, I'll go first with this. As somebody who is, I would call myself antisocial. I would definitely not go to this party, Jave.
Yeah.
Especially if the only person you know is the host. I mean, it's very awkward.
Yeah.
I hate that.
The host, the wife, the husband and wife, we're, like I said, it's probably the same friend group. We're close and everything like that. But everybody else in who's going to be at this party, I don't know. And they're all going to be, you know, married with kids or bring the kids. You know what I mean? It's a kid's birthday party. You know what I mean? So I just updated my invite to say I'm not going. I probably should give an explanation, but I just said I cannot make it. You know what I mean? I couldn't know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you in this one.
Yeah. That's the right move, right, guys?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What was the second story I was going to say? Ah, crap. Now I'm tired.
No, you can stop if you like. I mean, I got something else here.
Okay, go ahead. There was something else I was going to say, too.
All right, if you remember, we can go back to that. Mm-hmm. I saw this article here. There was a survey among movie theater owners or exhibitors, as they call themselves. Like they had them ask questions on the survey, and I thought some of the answers were kind of interesting because we're all in the like, especially for those of us who like going to movies a lot. The question of the viability of going to movies, is that still a thing that might happen down the line? And apparently, this is definitely something that a lot of movie theater exhibitors are questioning themselves. And they said here is that, where was that question? How long do you expect the traditional cinema experience to remain a viable business model? The given options were less than 5 years, 5 to 10 years, 10 to 20 years, and more than 20 years. And they separated them by TV execs, sales and distribution execs, production execs, and exhibition execs. And exhibition execs specifically are the movie theater people. So let's focus on that. So less than 5 years, 5 to 10 years, 10 to 20 years, more than 20 years. Jiaming, you're a fellow person who goes to movies quite often. What would you say movie theaters thought about less than 5 years? What percentage would you say said that?
Probably, I think they're a little bit more optimistic. I'd say like maybe 40%.
No. Less than 5%. Who thought that it was less than 5% that the cinema experience it goes away after 5 years? Like, right. You only survive another 5 years.
Yeah, like 40% of them would stay in less than 5 years.
You know, I think you said they were more. You thought they were more optimistic. You say that 40% would think that movie theaters would go away in 5 years? Wow.
To me, that's an optimistic number.
Wow, that's scary, Jiaming.
5% is pessimistic. You know what I mean?
About 7%. I would say about 7%. They have it in a bar chart, so I'm getting about. It was between 0 and 10%, and it was about 7%. 7% of the movie theaters think movie theaters will not survive after 5 years. Okay.
Okay.
So next one up is 5 to 10 years, Jiaming. How many do you think?
Well, based on that, 7 is a low bar. Maybe like, I'd say 20%.
Yeah, we'll say about 22%. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Anna, Ruti, did you want to chime in for this too? Totally forgot.
I mean, I go to the movies a lot, but thanks.
Yeah, okay. I'll ask Anna next. So, Anna, movie theater people, 10 to 20 years, what percentage do you think will said that, that 10 in movie theaters will go away after in about 10 to 20 years?
32%.
Ruti, do you have an answer here? Or just a guess?
15%.
That's actually pretty close. It's actually, yeah, about 15%. 15% said 10 and 20 years. So the big question here is, more than 20 years, what percentage of them said movie theaters would go away after 20 years?
It just makes me sad because I love going to the movies.
Mm-hmm. I would say 10%. They say, yeah, it's going to be around for a long, for 30 years.
10% only?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Anna, your answer?
22%.
And Ruti?
I have no idea.
The answer is about
18.
Okay. The answer is about 55%.
Oh, okay.
So you can either see it now, you can see it two different ways. 55% of movie theaters think that movies will still be around more than 20 years. Or you could say 45% believe it's gonna go away. So more than 50%, I would say, because a lot of the articles about this survey are putting a negative spin to it. Like they're saying, oh, only 55% people of movie theaters believe that movies will be around after 20 years.
Never mind all this. Let's just do a quick survey in this podcast. I'm going to ask each of every one of you. It's midway through 2025, right?
Okay.
I want you, in your head, I want you to think about how many movies you've seen this year, in the year 2025, okay? In your head. Just, you don't have to literally count it, but think about it, okay? Think about the movie, all the movies you saw. And then from there, how many did you stream at home versus how many did you see in the theater where you got off your ass, went to the theater, paid money, sat down, watched it, okay? If you have that percentage in your head now, I'm going to go around the podcast. I'm going to ask you, you know, the percentage, the breakdown. Anna?
Wait, what? Know?
How many movies did you, in what percentage did you see movies in theaters versus streaming?
Versus at home, yeah.
Yeah.
This year, just this year. We're the midway part.
Okay. I don't think I can't. I don't want to use this year because I've not been in a good headspace. Mm-hmm. But
that's a year and a half. Then let's go back to 2024.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
I feel like you know. I'll interject here. I feel like this year will be perfectly accurate. Actually, if you saw 10 movies in total. If you saw 8 movies in theaters and 2 movies in the home, that's still 80%.
Yeah.
Right? So,
I mean, I prefer to go to the movie theater.
She's saying he's the office. So I'm giving her a break. Why don't you go first, then, Albert? What percentage then this year?
Yeah, about 90 to 95% in theaters and then 5% at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know the answer to that. So,
Ruti?
Can I guess? Ruti is 98% streaming, and then 1% at the theater.
Because of the
99% streaming.
Oh, there you go. 99% streaming. 1% at the theaters, yes. And Anna?
I really want to say it's like 60-40.
Okay.
But, because, I mean, I just...
Which way?
I don't know. More theater than streaming at home. I don't like streaming at home.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, admittedly, I have like an 82-inch TV now. Mm-hmm. So streaming at home has been pretty good.
And that's the question, though. So do you think this little quick little survey of this podcast is true for people in Los Angeles only, people, you know, in these metropolitan coastal cities, is it across the district, across America, demographics, economic demographics? So where does the answer lie? And my personal answer is very much aligned with Albert's. I think I've only streamed maybe 5-6 movies at home this year. Rest, I would say, is all movie theaters.
But the reality is more like Ruti. Ruti is the actual reality for America. Yeah. So I can see why people can be pessimistic about movie theaters surviving in the future. Because even people who claim to watch a lot of movies, they also don't go to the movies. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I have a coworker at work who talks about movies all the time. But he never seemed to watch them in theaters. He always either watches it bootleg at home or in streaming services, right? So it's like, and he always asks me, Albert, do you think movie theaters are going to survive? Like, how when was the last time you watched a movie in theaters? And I will ask him that. You know, it's like it's a ridiculous situation that
but everything has its nuance too, because it all depends on where you are on your movie watching journey. Because there are people who are trying to watch classical movies that you can't see the theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Criterion Collection, you know, old timey movies. You know, your friend might be one of those guys. You know what I mean? And, but the real question is, new 2025, made for 2025 movies that are being released in theater, are people going to go watch it in the theater, or are they going to wait 3 weeks just to pay for POV and stream at home? You know what I mean? So
I still think the majority of people will just wait for home, unless it's like a water cooler type of movie, a movie that's in the zeitgeist, a movie that's causing TikTok memes or whatever. Those movies people are going to go watch. But besides that, I think a lot of people will still just watch it at home. So the fact that movie theater executives think that, or 55% of them think that movies will still be around 20 years plus, I would say that's an optimistic number. And not like, oh no, doom and gloom, only 55%. No, I think that's actually pretty damn optimistic. I can totally imagine an era where 50% of the theaters are gone. But the fact is, like, especially here in Southern California, 50% of the theaters are still a lot for us. But like a small town, if they have to drive 40 miles just to watch a movie theater, that might sadly be the reality in the future. Like some small
town. The other issue. It's easier for people like us in the coastal cities to go to a nice theater and stuff like that. You know what I mean? A nice AMC, Regal, whatever, stuff like that. People in the Midwest, you know, like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They haven't, the local theaters haven't invested in upgrading their local theater screen sound system in a long time. So,
yeah.
Like, that's so true. Because my friend who moved to Texas, he canceled his A-list because he said the closest AMC is like 25 to 30 minutes away. So before, you know, it was 10 minutes away and now it's 30. So for him, it's just like, I'm not going to make it out there.
Yeah.
Weekly, like I did now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's a bummer. I wouldn't move if I didn't, like, you know, not having a movie theater close by, again, bums me out because I have one right down the street. So,
yeah. So where I live, I can go to Covina, which is 20 minutes away. Puente Hills is like 15 minutes, 10 minutes if I drive really fast. You know what I mean? And even if you increase the radius, I can still hit two other theaters within the 30 minutes you just mentioned, Anna, you know what I mean? So within 30 minutes, I can hit up four AMCs where I live and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that's only AMC. If I want to go to, what do you call it, Harkin? Harkin's like 10 minutes from me. Regal is also close to me and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, we live in the land of overabundance. You know, we kind of spoiled that way. But yeah, the reality of the fact is that Aaron should not have moved to Texas if he wanted to watch movies.
Yes, you know. If you want, if you want to get women pregnant, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a complicated issue. It's kind of depressing because, like you guys said, I like going to theater. I find it very therapeutic and stuff. I like going to theater. I hope it's around for a long, long time.
Yes, and like I'm saying, I think the fact that 55% of movie theater execs think it will be around 20 plus years is a positive. I will say. Especially for those of us who live in areas there's a lot of movie theaters.
Don't think within our lifetimes going to movies will disappear. I don't think it'll get to. I don't think it'll ever get to that point.
Yeah.
Well, is it affordable? Is it on the scale? Who knows? But
yeah. But if something like K-pop Demon Hunters is a sign, like there are a lot of people very much willing to watch a movie at home and still be in the zeitgeist. So, so that is, I think K-pop Demon Hunter is an example of the future of movie watching for a lot of people. And so that's something that we also can't deny. All right. Jiaming, do you remember the other topic you were thinking of, or that's a wrap?
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention this. This is really fast. For the last 6 to 8 weeks, I didn't mention it on the podcast and stuff like that. But because of Trump's tariff, our business have been really, really slow and stuff like that because of the tariffs imposed on goods coming from China. It got to a point where the executives, myself included, started working half days because we had to cut salary and stuff like that. So for the last 6 weeks or so, I've been leaving work at around 12:30 and that's it. But at the beginning, my point is, besides the whole financial thing where, you know, I'm going to be broke, I'm going to be homeless soon. That's not the point here. But the point is, when this happened, I thought, you know, I leave work at 12:30. I thought, you know, in my expectations versus reality, I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to go home, work out, exercise, take advantage of this extra time I have. But you know what happened? The reality is I just started eating. I started eating, doom scrolling TikTok, and just sleeping. You know, typically at work, I would, there's a back office, was the room is empty. So in the late afternoon, I would just go back there to sneak a nap for like 20 minutes. But at home, these naps have turned into 1.5 hour odysseys. You know what I mean? I'm going to dreamland for like an hour and a half, 2 hours at home. It's like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm off. Who needs it? You know what I mean? Who needs it? So, yeah.
I'm surprised that your option wasn't like half day at work, go to the movies. You have A-list.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah. And I think that's the reason why you've been watching more movies this year, right?
A little bit. I mean, a little bit.
Because you have that afternoon off already to go watch a movie.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But the thing is, that also bites you in the ass. I mean, we talked about like all these theaters close to me. Sometimes they do tend to play the same thing, and some of the stuff I really don't want to watch. So it's okay. But yeah, but what I'm saying is, I'm back to full time next week. But it's one of those things where you get, I kind of suck. I really should exercise more in this time off I had. But yeah.
What do you think? But I hear you, man. Doom scrolling has gotten really bad for me this year, also. Like,
yeah,
more so than ever. You know, it just and then it eats up like all your time, and it's just so bad.
I closed Twitter. Blue Sky is not as, you know, it does not that many users. It's not that much stuff on it. But I really got into doom scrolling with TikTok, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's my biggest vice right now. I got to quit.
Yeah. For me, it's Instagram and some kind of same thing too with TikTok. You know, it's like,
but Instagram is solvable. Instagram is just like, hey, just follow hot bikini models. That's it. That's what I use Instagram for. That's what you need.
Oh, well, you do. I'm not on TikTok very often at all. I only go on it when you send me links. But yeah, the version of that is also in Instagram. The doom scrolling still exists there. But yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening to that episode. We're not done yet. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
And you can find me on Instagram at RuthieGrace13 and Ruthie's Cats.
You can find me on social media, JIAMINGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage on my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else. It's on the show notes, found on whatworstwhy.com. Before we go, let's see if they remember their assignment. Let's give our 11 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jaume.
Oh, what do I have? Let me see. I blew my load with the pit, but I've watched a bunch of crap recently, too. Let me just hit the thing. Well, you already mentioned, Squid Game, right? So again, yes. 3 came out. I saw it. I think the quality of Squid Game follows the release of Squid Game. Season 1 is the best. Season 2 is also very good. Season 3, it peaks around episode 2, but it's still very good. It's a very good season of Squid Game. It's very good. I thought I give it a thumbs up and stuff. I mentioned The Pit. What else did I see here? F1. F1 came out.
Yes.
F1 came out. It's one of those movies where, hey, man, if you put $300 million on the screen, you'll make a good movie. You know what I mean? So that's a really good movie. Is it the best thing in the world? Probably not. If you want to see Kerry Condon, Brad Pitt for 2.5 hours, watch F1. You know what I mean? Because she is just effing her, Brad Pitt. The bit where this guy, I think, is this his bit now? Like, he's going to put a GoPro camera on a fast moving vehicle for all his movies going forward. You know what I mean? Because it's the same director as Top Gun Maverick, right? Yes. Now it's an F1 car. What's the next thing? A roller coaster? I don't know.
Actually, going off a roller coaster, have you seen the trailer on your phone on the Apple TV app?
What are you referring to?
What do you mean?
For F1, it has haptic feedback. So, like, whatever's going on in the, yeah, whatever's going on in the trailer, you can actually feel it.
First off, I think it's a travesty that you're watching a movie theater, a movie trailer in your phone. But yeah, it's like, come on, that should be the big screen. Besides that fact,
but Apple's thrilled though.
That's amazing. You feel it in your hand. No, that's amazing. I love it. Using haptic feedback for a trailer.
I know what I'm doing after this.
That is amazing. That's the way I described this movie was, if you like Top Gun Maverick, well, this is the driving version of that. So it's like, it's entertaining, it's enjoyable. I love this movie. It's so fun to watch, especially in the theaters. And I kind of want to go back and watch it in 4D, like we said we were all gonna do. Because I'm like,
there are like I said, you spent $300 million, you're gonna make a good movie. Like, there are scenes where the, not even involving the cars, but it's the production value. You know what I mean?
Yep.
These little computer graphics, these things where they test the cars, all that stuff looks amazing. So you pay Hans Zimmer how much money? I can't think of the original score that Hans Zimmer made, but the music that he chose to blast in these racing scenes is fantastic and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So like I said, you hire, and it's like $300 million. You're gonna make a good movie.
But I was legitimately invested in, I guess, quote unquote, sports strategy of F1 racing.
Yeah,
which I never really watched F1 on TV or really cared about it too much, short of like it existing. But I didn't realize how intricate the strategies of F1 racing can actually be. And I'm like, I was so invested in the whole thing. Yeah, it's a fun movie to watch.
I was going to mention
clearly
this too.
You guys never watched the Sylvester Stallone F1 movie.
No, I did not. Actually, I never did. No, sorry.
Yeah, because I was going to mention this too. Because the story itself is very, very kind of like by the book. It's basically the Bad News Bears formula plus the movie Major League. I don't know if you guys saw Major League, but it's those two kind of formulas put into one. So the story is very basic, but the skill and craft of the movie is what Albert says. It teaches people like me who've never seen an F1's racing or don't know anything about it. It teaches you the strategy, the thinking behind how to do this racing. So at the beginning, you don't know anything, but by the end, by the final race, you know almost everything about how a race works, why there are two drivers, right? You know what I mean? What the pit crew does, and you know, what they spot, what the strategy is. So that is the real skill and the real craft of the movie. You know what I mean? Albert mentioned the Top Gun of it all, the GoPro. We're kind of joking, but this real skill and real craft is how the director tells you how F1 works, or the strategy behind F1. The other thing I want to mention is Brad Pitt of it all. This movie, Brad Pitt's been with us for like 30 years now. You know what I mean? And this movie is an example of a full Brad Pitt experience. Because my whole thing, I've mentioned this in the previous podcast, Brad Pitt is not a great, great actor, not a great leading actor necessarily. But if you get him in an ensemble, if you get him in if you get him like a buddy cop thing, he's fantastic. He's a very physical actor. Like in this one, when he's yelling at people, when he's playing off people, when he's pushing Damon and Idris in the wall and yelling at him, pointing his finger, all that's fantastic. But when he needs to do acting stuff, like real leading mass, where he's talks about his internal struggles, his internal, like, you know, my background story. I don't see it. You know what I mean? I don't want to spoil any of the characters' background story, but when he talks about it, I just don't buy it and stuff like that. So Brad Pitt, really great character actor, real great moments and stuff, but he's okay. But as an emotional actor, he's not Daniel Day-Lewis, is what I'm trying to say. He's good though. He carries the movie. It's an ensemble piece, what I'm trying to say. If you see it as an ensemble movie, it's really good.
Were you distracted by the fact that he wasn't...
The wig? Yeah, the wig. Yeah, I know, the wig.
No, not the wig.
No, sorry.
The fact that he wasn't eating a lot in this movie.
What?
I know, right? That's his whole gimmick. Like, he's always eating in movies.
What's funny is, after I saw the movie, I was just flipping through Netflix to try and find something to watch. And I started watching Ocean's 11. And, you know, Brad Pitt, Ocean's 11 just eats all the time, right? I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't go to eat the F1.
Yeah.
But that's his thing. That's his crush, right? He wasn't eating. Yeah.
I wonder if Joseph Kosinski is like, stop doing that. Stop doing that. It's like, stop doing that.
The most he did was he had a drink, right? That's it.
Right.
That's not really food. Right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I was shocked. I was shocked. Like,
it's shocking.
Yeah. I was shocked. I don't know if it was.
Intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's a really fun movie. If you enjoyed watching
really
Top Gun Maverick, it follows the exact same plot progression as that movie, essentially. It follows the same plot.
It's the Bad News Bears. it's somehow Bad News Bears, where the team the team that you're following is worth like $1 billion.
No, that's besides the point, though, because this movie kind of has two protagonists, right? Same as Top Gun Maverick. There's the old timer and the new school, and this one has the old timer and the new school.
So how old do you think Damon Idris's character is?
Isn't he supposed to be like in his like early 20s? His character.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I was gonna say. It's why his mother hanging around him all the time. If he was in 30s, that's how I would play. Why is mom around all the time? He has to play somebody younger, right?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's the new school versus old school, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun movie. F1 the movie. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a lot. F1 really registered the movie. So, yeah.
It's really a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. Yeah. You do have to watch. They get 3 weeks in IMAX. You really do have to watch it in IMAX. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Anna?
Recommend y'all watch the F1 movie that Sylvester Stallone did a while back called Driven.
Driven! That's what it's called. Okay, Driven!
It's terrible, but great. I don't know. It's like...
I don't remember this movie. It came out in the 90s? 2000s?
2000s. 2000s. I became really obsessed with it. Like, I didn't want to watch it. My parents did, and then I was like, fine, I'll watch it. And then I watched... Like, I was so obsessed. I watched the featurettes. The commentary, like everything for this movie. So
did they acknowledge, like, Sylvester isn't he kind of, he's not tall, but isn't he kind of bulky to fit in an F1 kind of a vehicle? Did they acknowledge that?
No, they didn't.
No,
that's a good point. But no, they didn't address that. He just gets in.
Did they have two racers in the Sylvester Stallone's movie?
And he's the old timer, and there's a new timer, new guy, new young guy, blah blah blah, and the pressures of racing and the drama behind and all that. So, watch Driven.
Prime Video has it.
Yeah.
Do they really? Okay. Yeah. I might have to check that out.
speaking of the two driver thing, I forgot the whole thing. Like, I play racing games, like video games, racing. And somebody's gotta implement the whole two driving thing, because that was a strategy that, like I said, was never in my head. Because when you play racing games, you're playing by yourself. You know, there's no team. So there's gotta be a video game out there that actually does this. And fantastic! Wow, didn't know.
There is, isn't there? When you have a teammate, I don't know. I could be wrong.
But I feel like all that does is everybody's trying to get number one. Even your teammates just trying to get number one.
Yeah.
You know, and this movie was like, no, that isn't always a strategy. You know, it's like, there is a reason why you just climb up the charts or climb up the position.
Yeah.
You know,
before I saw this movie, I had no idea there was a second driver. And then during the course of the movie, you learn the importance of having a second driver and have a driver one and driver two is, you know, the position you have to. You have to work together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which, and really, would know this if you watch Driven.
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah, it's a private video. And
you guys, I knew this way back in the day.
And if Brad Pitt's character exists in real life, or if any other drivers are like him, man, that guy's an asshole. That's all I gotta say. It's like, you don't want him to be in your race, is what I gotta say. But
I'm not gonna pay $4 to rent this Sylvester Stallone movie, by the way. It's not part of Prime, you know. It's not free.
Oh, it's not part of Prime Video.
It's not?
Okay.
No, it's not.
That's shocking. I thought maybe this is some kind of international market thing.
Oh, remember there was that, what do you call it?
I have the DVD. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, you do that. There's that Chris Hemsworth movie, remember?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was another one. Rush, yeah.
Okay. All right. We did it, guys. We talked about F1 more than I thought I would. Also, we should mention 28 Years Later is also a really good movie. If you guys want to watch, you know, a really good sequel to 28 Days Later. It's really good.
Would it make sense if I haven't watched the other ones?
Yes, actually, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
I agree. It would make sense. Yeah, you're right.
Because
I
really want to see it because it has a good cast, but I just didn't see the other ones.
It's really good. You don't have to know anything about... You just have to know that there's a rage virus. This part of the area was quarantined. That's it. It's not one of those movies it's not a sequel that plays up the lore of it so much. It's its own story and stuff. It's really good.
Oh, I find it jumping. There is one streaming service that has it part of its streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
It's VIX.
Oh, but you have to pay for VIX.
Yeah, you have to pay
for
VIX. Yeah, it's a streaming service. It's part of that streaming service. And yeah, so Vix has it. Oddly enough, I kind of gloss over the rent part for Prime Video. That's the reason why I made a mistake.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on that one. It's all right. I think F1 may be the. I heard Rush, the Ron Howard. I think it has a following though. I think people like that. There's like a. It was a. It didn't do much when it first was released, but I think it has a cult following right now. But yeah, I think F1 is good.
And speaking of timing, Ruti, what's your recommendation for the week?
What was my recommendation? I guess I used the other two. We quite literally had it.
We filibustered for like 10 minutes right there, Matt.
I know. I always do this. I have it and then I freeze. What was I watching? Not on HBO. Was it on HBO? Sure. Oh, Gilded Age. Gilded Age is back on season 3.
Did you recommend that?
I think I might have recommended it last year.
Maybe.
And what's the difference between Gilded Age and the Buccaneers? Can somebody explain that to me? What's going on here?
Well, the Buccaneers is more like a modern take, kind of like Catherine, like or the Great with Elle Fanning, where it's kind of like a ridiculous going back in history, kind of like the Bridgertons, where it's not really based on.
Oh wait, that's somewhere else. Oh,
that no, way. The Gilded Age is a little bit more serious. Like it's okay. A period drama. One of the families is actually modeled after the Vanderbilts. So mm-hmm. It's a lot of New York history. It's a lot of like very accurate costume designs, which is a huge part of the show. And honestly, like I'm just like I love watching it because of a lot of the references that are accurate to New York history. A lot of the costumes that are accurate, very, very accurate to the period, like the attention to detail that they give it. Really, really good show, really good dialogue. Yeah, just a really good, solid show overall. I'm really glad that they brought it back because there was a lot of talk that maybe they were going to scale it back a lot. And I don't think they have so far. They've only released the first episode last week. Second episode is airing tonight. Yeah, just hoping everything is going to, hoping that this season won't disappoint. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the season.
Yeah. And listeners, if you ever wondered why Orange Face keeps referring to the Gilded Age, I guess, what's the show? this is the era that he wants to come back, bring America back to, the Gilded Age.
It just makes absolutely no sense. The age of robber barons, basically.
Yeah, that's what he wants, right? That's what he wants.
I mean, that's what he is, right?
Yeah, yeah. The modern day version, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer for this. I don't see one person of color. Oh, there are.
No, there are. Is it a fantasy?
So you're saying this is woke? How dare they?
No, this is actually real. They're also featuring affluent black families during the Gilded Age.
Oh, so woke.
So it's fantasy is what we're saying.
It's not. There's actually evidence.
We do not acknowledge those people.
It's fantasy, according to Trump.
Like I said, this is what he wants people to come back to.
It's fantasy to real life. I mean, were there rich? Were there?
Yes, they actually were. They actually were. Yeah, they actually were.
Well, yeah. Remember Black Wall Street?
Yeah. Yeah,
I know how about you, but yeah, I know how it ended. I know that. How about that?
Yeah.
So apparently, like Brooklyn was like where all the affluent black families were during that time. So they actually feature Brooklyn and like the the juxtaposition between like the white neighborhoods.
We're not stepping one foot outside of Brooklyn, guys. No, we do not watch. We do not watch show any other world in New York City or anywhere else in America. That's what we're doing. That's what we're saying. This is a complete fantastical fantasy world we're trying to create here within full this fantasy. Brooklyn. Yeah.
How dare we?
Yeah. It makes me wonder if like his base suddenly is watching this show because he keeps referring it so much. No, because he keeps referring it so much.
He doesn't even know what the Gilded Age means. Gilded Age actually refers to this is a very corrupt period, right? It's like it's the period that Mark Twain kept goofing on, where just being satirical about the Gilded Age. It's about corruption and stuff like that.
Correct. You know what I mean? And he also doesn't know what the Constitution actually stands for, or when what Independence Day where we actually we became independent from. But like, come on, he, you know, the guy, yeah, he's slick. I wouldn't say he's completely informed about accuracies of history, nor do I think he cares. So
he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's his own reality.
He is a POS.
All right. Well, my recommendation, somewhat related. I saw this video, and this is kind of like, I apologize, Anna, but I'm going to have to bring up ICE here. So it is a reality that we all are facing. Like, I myself would like to, I'm starting to avoid going to places where I feel like they're going to be there. So, but the reality of the matter is when I've never seen it happen in person, only in video. Thank God I didn't have to. But there is a video that I watched here called, it's a lawyer video. And he goes to the three phrases that get you arrested while filming police. And I feel like this is important to know, because if you ever put yourself in that position, this is important to know. So real quick, watch the video. It's a link to the show notes, but Cliff Notes version of it. The kids now, they even know what Cliff Notes means. But anyways, a real summarized version of TLDR. The TLDR of this video is, the three phrases is, sorry, officer. Do not say that, because it admits that you're doing something wrong, right? Use, I'm documenting from a safe distance as your answer. Okay, I'm documenting from a safe distance. The distance varies depending on the state that you're in. It could be, or depending on the police officer telling you how far you have to be. And admittedly, we have no control whether they're going to lie about that and how far you have to be. But safe distance, depending on what that is. Okay, a lot of people recommended you at least 15 feet away from them. So I'm documenting from a safe distance. Say that instead of saying, never say sorry, officer. The second phrase that will get you arrested is it okay if I film? Like, if you ask permission from them, a constitutional right that you're allowed to film in public, then you're already opening yourself up to them telling you, dictating what you can or cannot do. So never say that. Use instead, I'm in a public place using my First Amendment rights. Okay? Because that is exactly what it is. Public place. Make sure you are in a public place, not a private place. And then using your First Amendment rights. And the third phrase that you should never use in front of the police is, I know my rights. Okay? Because it only provokes them. It only provokes them to push you into that corner, because you claim you know your rights. And honestly, a lot of people don't know their rights. So never say that. Just say, If it comes down to the whole, like, they're trying to intimidate you and then somebody goes, I know my rights. What you actually should say is, am I free to leave? Just keep repeating that. Am I free to leave? Because they either detain you or they let you go. So if they let you go, I suggest you leave. So use, am I free to leave instead? All right. So there's a video in the show notes. Click on that for the more longer explanation. But this is the TLDR of that.
For our work, because we work in a place that's warehouse, a lot of undocumented people work there and stuff, it's a very much a reality that ICE might show up. At one point, I think they were in the Rowan Heights area, and somebody, human resource person sent an email saying, "Out, you just remind us of our rights, because of us owning, you know, private property. You have to forcibly tell them to leave. You're not welcome here. They have to have a signed warrant from a judge and stuff like that." Just going through it. And there's a real possibility where I might have to deal with these people because of our human resource, she works, you know, half at home, half at in the office. And technically, you know, my cousin is the owner, but she's been working from home since COVID and stuff like that. So unfortunately, I'm the next senior person there, I guess. It's a family business. So there is a realist possibility I meant to talk to these monsters in ICE and stuff. So it's something I take it to heart about, like, what our rights are, what they can and cannot do and stuff like that. You know what I mean? If to me, you're like, dude, you show up without a badge, with covering your face. I mean, come on, man. I don't know you from shit. Are you cosplaying as a ICE? I don't know. These guys. So,
but if I remember correctly, your workplace is gated, right? They have to ask. They have to get permission to get in.
No, the gate is open during the workout.
Really?
The gate. They can go as far as they can go into our lobby. That's far.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, especially if you're in Home Depot, I would worry because a lot of them hang out in Home Depot. Unfortunately. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, just know how to handle the situation, people. I'm just saying. I know a lot of people are gung-ho about helping people, and I appreciate that. But if you get yourself in trouble, you can't be useful after that. So, all right, okay. Way to end on a down note again, Albert. Yay. This was episode 886 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been A Who What Where's Where.
What? We did it again.
Yeah, we did it again. There you go, folks. That's our one and only episode of this week, recorded a week prior. So hopefully the world is still around and we haven't officially gotten into World War III and all that other stuff. And Comic-Con's just around the corner, folks. So I got something to look forward to there. Me and Anna has something to look forward to there. And yeah, so here we are. This Superman week. you're still a known Superman, Anna?
Not my Superman.
All right.
I don't care about the marketing kind of working on me. My Superman.
So I don't know, listeners, if me and Jaming are going to do an episode on Superman. I feel like I'm encouraged to do it. So Jaming, you're open to do? Yeah,
I have my
obviously
ticket.
Obviously, going to watch it. So obviously, I'm going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. So
exclude me out of it.
So yeah, we might end up doing a episode on Superman. I'm kind of curious. It's the first live action entry to the new DC Universe thingy. Still haven't seen Creature Commandos. So, but yeah.
Have you seen his? Have you seen his Peacemaker and?
I guess it counts too. Yeah.
No, I'm saying if you watch those, it's literally it's kind of the same thing. You copy and paste Creature Commandos.
Oh, interesting.
Some people online are very like Creature Commandos. I'm not very high on Creature Commandos.
Okay. All right.
I saw it. I'm not very high on it. It's fun. It's watchable, I guess.
I feel like I have to watch it because it's part of the you know.
I don't think it'll be essential to Superman.
Okay. So yeah, we might release an episode of Superman. Maybe. We'll see. Okay. All right, then. That's a wrap. I'm going to go walk the dog and then...
Same.
And dinner. Yeah.
All right. Peace
Thanks
out.
For being on, y'all.
Did you want me to stay on, Albert?
Oh, yes. Yes. Stay on. Yeah.
Meeting with the principal?
I'm
going to pretend to get off and we'll listen in.
You wouldn't even know the reference, would you?
I'm a nosy that way.
Can we just like stand?
We're talking shit about people. Are we gossiping?
I need the Anna.
No, it's fine. We're all family.
You want to? Okay. All right. So you guys,
I gotta take a piss. I don't care that much. See you guys.
If I said family, John, I would be like, nope.
I'll listen in a little bit and then I'll probably just jump.
Okay. Before jumping onto a different conversation and. It does sadden me a little bit because I always thought that like the newer generation, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, whatever, are more mature about these things. And the more and more I listen to their stories, like my nieces and whatnot, it's not true. It's not true at all.
No,
they still.
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah, the same thing happens again. They haven't learned. You know, it's like they're not learning from our mistakes, so to speak. They're still facing all the same social problems and whatnot, and it's just bad, guys. It's just bad.
Yeah, human nature is human nature. It's really hard to change.
But but Gen Z I want to speak to Gen Alpha because they're still pretty quiet. But Gen Z is supposed to be the generation of change, the generation of we're going to be more mature than you guys, and turns out it's not the case.
They're not.
Human relationships just they're like that. It's just how it is.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody has to grow through their own rate. And they don't want to listen. Younger generations just never want to listen to the older generations, no matter how much.
We just sounded like those old people. Get off our lawn, people, guys.
Right? I'm getting there. I'm really getting there.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting there also. Because I was the whole like, yo, listen to them. They seem to get their head on straight kind of thing. And now it's like they have problems. Like And I feel like they have even more problems than we do, and which is probably true, right? So like, they're more screwed up than we are. Imagine that.